Chapter 9. Roles. Who does what? How do you fill gaps? You should have arrived at the point now where you have a good picture of your potential partner's attributes and attitudes. You've discussed, and perhaps agreed on, the goals of the business, including important financial issues. You have a pretty clear idea about your preferred working style and environment. The next big question is, who does what? The key is to identify and play to your individual strengths and to exploit the synergies between you. What you're looking for are complementary skills, not Gemini attributes. This is one of the first things that crossed Linda Hollander's mind when she quit her job and invited her friend, Cheryl Felice, to establish a business partnership with her. At first, they had no idea what to do. Then Hollander hit on the idea of capitalizing on their shared passion for collecting unusually designed shopping bags. They founded the Bag Ladies, producing short-run bags for promotional events and the like. But the way they divided their responsibilities and covered for each other drove the success of the venture. "We're alike yet different," says Hollander in her book, Bags to Riches. "Cheryl is strong in ways I'm weak, and I fill her gaps. We really enjoy being together and have a unique kind of synergy. We like being together, but respect each other's space." Asked if she supports the idea that opposites attract in her situation, she replies with honesty. "The answer is yes and no. If you prefer to work behind the scenes and your partner is an aggressive sales and marketing person, that can be a great match. Your personality traits can be opposite, but your core values have to be the same. How can you come to a sensible division of labor? Perhaps it's already decided. You may have been invited to join a partnership because you have an acknowledged, specific skill set. Or, if you're doing the inviting, you may have sought someone to fill a gap that you recognized in your expertise. If neither of these possibilities is the case, start by reviewing the strengths and weaknesses of each partner." It's easy for business owners to believe they're competent at everything, especially if, like most entrepreneurs, they've had to keep a dozen plates spinning single-handedly in the past. But that kind of multitasking better fits the definition of a jack-of-all-trades than a master of one. A business can't grow with that mentality. As a result, owners like that end up mired in areas of the business where they can create more problems than they solve. So you want to uncover your strengths. What are your true strengths and weaknesses? Most people don't critique themselves, either accurately or honestly. They tend to be too harsh or too lenient on themselves. Aptitude tests can help, as can consultants. Or spend time reflecting on the things you know you've done well in the past, and those maybe you've handled less ably. You may even know what business expert Keith McFarland calls an insultant, an individual, usually within your organization, who isn't afraid to speak her mind and whose opinions you value, if you can take the heat. Sometimes your likes and dislikes can give you a clue to your strengths. It's not an infallible approach, as many lousy but passionate golfers know. Still, be upfront about your preferences, where you have experience, and where you are a novice. If you absolutely detest writing checks and balancing bank statements and can't tell a general ledger from a P&L, handling and overseeing the financial aspects of the company might not be the best thing for you, or your partner, or the business. Here are some questions to help facilitate your discussion. What will each of the partners bring to the business? What assets and resources? Money? Technical expertise? Management skills? Sales skills? Customers or clients? Contact database? Does one partner have intellectual property, for example, a recipe or a software program that the business needs in order to run? What are your strengths and weaknesses? What are the gaps left open that your combined skills don't satisfy? Areas to consider include sales and marketing, finance and procurement, admin and HR, and technology. Which tasks would each partner prefer to do? What's the rationale? How does the other feel about this? Define personal business skills such as oral presentation, written communication, computer use, and organizational expertise. If there are weaknesses, how will they be addressed? Don't worry if this exercise identifies gaps, either individually or collectively. Most partnerships encounter skill shortfalls. Certainly, two or three partners would be unusually lucky to be able to cover all of the bases with grade A expertise. The challenging corollary of all this is, what are you going to do about it? How will you fill the gaps? Will the prospective partners undergo training? Will they mentor each other or bring in outside expertise or staffing, whether for the short or long term? I believe a willingness to learn new skills and extend your repertoire, rather than sticking in a comfort zone, sends a powerfully positive signal about that person's determination to see your partnership succeed. At the end of the day, if you want to grow your business, you have to be prepared to grow yourself. Another point to keep in mind is that roles do and often must change. As the business expands, partners will find they have less time or opportunity to be as hands-on with certain roles, or their personal objectives may change. For example, if one partner undergoes a lifestyle change, she may need to work from home, which might require a shift in roles. As a result, she may want to delegate all or part of her role to the other partners, or to an employee, or to an outside vendor. It's important that partners are able to rely on each other to fulfill their chosen roles while leaving enough flexibility to embrace a change, should that occur. Roles case study. Never go to bed angry. Stay up and fight. When Robert Tuchman started his sports incentive business in 1996, he knew from the outset that he wanted a business partner. In particular, he looked for someone who had valuable traits that he didn't have. He found those qualities in his business partner, Brett Sklar. Robert took the important first step of assessing his strengths and weaknesses so that he could better hone his search for a complementary partner. He recognized that he was more of the creative type, the idea guy. He enjoyed meeting new people and putting alliances together. But he saw that he lacked a strong sense of logistics and operations. He could define the goal, but wanted a partner to help him develop the roadmap to reach the goal. When he met up with Brett after college, they tested each other for a few months. Robert brought Brett on as a consultant before they made the leap to becoming partners. They worked in tiny, cramped quarters at the beginning. As the business evolved, Brett fleshed out an organization chart, which assigned their roles for the company, and the roles played to their respective strengths. As the company grew, they saw that their roles largely stayed the same, except they then had to be responsible for employees and take on broader vision tasks. Robert appreciated the importance of having someone to talk to and bounce things off of. By having a clear set of roles, they were able to stay on track with regular check-ins. By having clearly defined roles, the company grew to such an extent that 10 years later, they were able to sell it for millions of dollars to a premier global sports corporation. He and Brett continue to work together, managing that division of the company. How does this affect you? Robert Tuchman credited his success to his ability to play to his strengths and to let his partner do the same. What are your strengths? What are your partner's? How does that translate into roles and responsibilities for the company? Do you end up with a relatively even division of labor? If not, how can you equalize the burdens so that they don't fall disproportionately on one person's shoulders? Give some thought to your own company's organization chart. It's a handy way to make sure that you and your partner aren't either stepping on each other's toes or letting things slip through the cracks. A key question that often arises is, who's the boss? Partners need to be prepared to tackle this troublesome question. Who's in charge? Does someone have to be the boss? Yep. Unequivocally, yes. The buck has to stop somewhere. Nearly all corporate entities have a single individual at the top. Frequently, the distinction between that person and other partners or senior executives is negligible. But you need that distinction, no matter how much power sharing is in play. Otherwise, you delay difficult decisions and fail to resolve disputes. The business can then get bogged down in chasing its own tail instead of chasing customers. Ultimately, partnership involves collaboration and an acknowledgement that someone at some point is the top dog. A significant skill in the partnership pecking order is having the ability to stand back, to let someone else take center stage, even if just temporarily, in order to achieve the best results. Michael Eisner, the former Disney chief, once admitted, "It's rare to find a business partner who is selfless. If you're lucky, it happens once in a lifetime." Consider one of the greatest showbiz partnerships of all time, George Burns and Grace Allen. Said authors David Heenan and Warren Bennis in their book Co-Leaders, Burns understood the professional and personal rewards that could only come as a result of collaboration. As the straight man, he knew it was his job to put Gracie in the spotlight. He received by giving. It takes a certain kind of person to do that. One who's willing to diminish part for the good of the whole. Are you? If you really, truly can't see yourselves being anything other than 50-50 partners, then fine. Be co-founders. But be firm in advance about how you'll handle situations where you disagree, and have an objective process in place for dealing with them. To summarize, select roles that play to individual strengths and cover their weaknesses. A willingness to learn is a key attribute of a successful and growing partnership. Prepare and plan to take on different roles as the business develops and as individual circumstances change. Someone has to be boss. Your action steps. Return to your own personal analysis that I recommended at the end of Chapter 1. Review your strengths and weaknesses with an eye to understanding their implications. Consider the George Burns role. How difficult would you find it to stand back and give someone else center stage? How do you feel about going back to school to learn new skills?